Okay, now we have some items that we put under communications, and we've had to start the dialogue and see where it goes from here. We've had two letters, one from the Petersburg School District, another one from the Petersburg Medical Center. And they're requesting the borough consider creating a municipal power rate for their facilities. Suggesting buildings that could qualify if a municipal power rate was approved by the assembly are borough-owned, non-enterprise, large commercial rated buildings such as elementary, middle, high school gym, aquatic center, medical center, fire station, library, public works office, and motor pool, municipal building, police, jail, not currently large commercial, but maybe once. The remodel is completed, and possible recommendation, request Petersburg Municipal Power and Light draft an ordinance to revise the municipal electric code to include a municipal power rate for borough-owned, non-enterprise, large commercial rated buildings. So the discussion item today. Any thoughts on this?
You gonna speak, Bob?
Bob?
Well, Nancy's got a question. Go
ahead, Nancy?
My constituency that was in contact with me doesn't understand why everybody's rate can't go down. That's, I just heard that comment, so.
Okay, and I think that might be the feel of some of the residents of another city that shares our power system through SEPA is Ketchikan. I'll get into that a little bit more, but Bob, you had a comment?
Yeah, I'd like to hear Joe's thoughts about the rates and the differences and what effects, pros and cons and so forth that this might have.
Joe, would you please answer that?
I think that kind of got to go back a little bit in order to put this in perspective. The reason, of course, that we're considering something like this is because the Power and Light Enterprise Fund is healthy. It's got a large reserve, and since the community is now decided not to move our facilities out the road any more than we already have, then the reason for that large reserve, you know, kind of goes away. And so then what do you do with the money? We go through an annual review of our rates during the budgeting process and take a look at our rates. We're supposed to be a nonprofit. And so if we've got more money than what we need, then we're supposed to lower rates or somehow get the money back. This kind of all started about 1985. When we went on Tyee and were able to replace our diesel plant power that ran all the time at that time with the Tyee hydropower. So since then, we've been on the Tyee hydropower plus our own little plant. At the time that happened, the rates were dropped significantly, but not as much as they could have been if you got right down to the bare bones. The idea being that at that time, the community wanted to move that industrial plant out of the downtown area, get it moved out the road. And so they left the rates a little higher in order to purposely build that reserve. So again, that started back in about 1985. When I came here in 2003, the reserve had built over that period of time to around $4 million, $3.8 million, $4 million, something like that. And my instructions from the city government at that time was to get the plant moved. The project had kind of stalled. They had already purchased the property out Scow Bay. They had already prepped the property as far as leveling it on two different levels. But the project had kind of stalled. And so my number one priority, and also the number one priority on your capital project list at that time, was moving the plant. And so we went ahead and started into the design. When we got to the 30% design stage, the first estimate came in And the estimate kind of blew everybody out of the water. It was something north of $20 million in order to do this. What that included was moving the entire generation plant out the road and adding 20% generation capacity because we were a generation short. So that kind of stopped the project in its tracks right there, and we went back and we re-engineered it and pruned it down every way we could think of, but we still came out at about $16 million. So again, it was kind of stopped in its tracks. So the next approach we took was to, okay, that's a big chunk of money. There was nothing forthcoming from the state or anybody else. The Power and Light had no debt. We had low rates. We had access to hydropower. So nobody at the state was going to lend us or give us any grant money. They thought we were too rich. So we decided to phase it. Still at the time, the project was on the priority list to get funding. It was still a community priority to get it accomplished. And so we began to phase the project, and we moved the 14th Avenue pole and storage yard. We got that moved out there. We put up a metal building to house the line truck and the bucket truck, the big trucks that we have about $500,000 invested in that previously had been just parked outside. Then we had opportunity to deal with our generation, lack of generation, and we were able to put in a new generator out there, our new 2.5 meg generator, which has been in service for a couple of years now. So when I came here, the community had invested about $1 million, almost $1 million in this move by purchasing the land and developing the land. So since then, the new generator is about a $2 million project. So we're just slowly but surely getting things out. The next logical step, of course, was to move our headquarters building out there and vacate that corner that became the emphasis or the priority at that time. So we went ahead then with just moving the headquarters building, moving all the personnel out to Scow Bay. We looked at three different things. We looked at a metal building on that lower site. We looked at a frame building at that lower site. And then we looked at purchasing the Reed Brothers shop, which it just so happens that the way that shop is built and laid out and everything, it fits our business quite nicely. So we brought that in front of the council at that time. And there, well, a new building, whether it's a stick building or whether it's a metal building, was going to be in the neighborhood of $4 million. That's about what it would cost. And so when we found out that the Reed Brothers shop might be available for significantly less money, we changed directions and went after that. And we actually, I don't remember what year that was, but it was when Scott Hahn was here as the city manager. It was actually an approved budget item. We had a $2 million in the budget item to go negotiate with Reed's on that property. And so we started down that road in the fall of that year. And then it was determined by the city manager that we really couldn't do that, that we needed to put it to the vote of the people. The reason given was that we were going to obligate the folks for $2 million, even though we had, at that time, probably more like $6 million in the bank. So at any rate, the project got stopped to go to a vote the following fall, basically a year hence. And during that time, then the community kind of lost interest in it. And so we had gone from 20, 24 million down to 16 million, down to 4 million, down to 2 million for the shop building, and then the interest kind of wavered, and we didn't move forward with that. So we are down now to the present project that you just approved for $500,000 and stay at that location. So I just want to give some background on why there's that big chunk of money there. I think, Jody, it's about $7.5 million now in our reserve. And bear in mind that our basement or our bottom in there is $3 million. That represents 6 months of operations and some other things that are uninsured. So that's kind of where we're at. So the thing is, what do we do with between $3 million and $7.5 million? What do we do with that? Bear in mind that that came from ratepayers across the board, not just municipal, but it came from ratepayers across the board. I don't know that somebody like PFI, for instance, who has contributed significantly to that, would be happy with giving it back through a municipal rate. I don't have strong feelings about the municipal rate. I understand where you're coming from. And so that's did I completely miss your question? No.
Jay?
Taking this at its current form, how would that impact your ability to continue to raise revenue for the enterprise fund? Or would that diminish your, would it put you in the red or keep you in the black?
When you rob Peter, you have to pay Paul.
I understand. But it didn't answer my question.
It's just loss of revenue, and then we're going to have to go back and revisit our rates, yes. But the portion of that built the reserve, of course, we can take out. So where that fits, I'm not quite sure. But just as a matter of point of reference, what's being suggested, and I'm not suggesting this, but what's being suggested is 6.9 cents for this special rate. We already have a rate on the books, our lowest rate. We already have a rate on the books for economic development. That's for new folks that want to bring a business to town, and we want to give them a special rate to get them on their feet. And so that is an 8-cent rate, and we allow that with assembly approval for up to 3 years. So any new business or any expanded business that raises their load significantly can qualify for that rate, and then the assembly can approve it. And so to me, there's a, when we did that 8-cent rate was essentially a pass-through. In other words, we buy it, and then we have to add our fixed costs to it, and then that's about a pass-through. Excuse me. So a 6.9 cent rate is definitely a negative rate. We're paying 6.8 cent for it.
I thought that's right around the wholesale price that we paid SEPA for our power. So
essentially then what you're saying, that 8 cents is just about is a break even for us, or 8 point.
That's correct. There was no harm, no foul at 8 cents. I mean, we're not getting any revenue, but on the other hand, we're not losing any either. At that time, when that was put into effect, which is about 3 years ago, as I recall.
Yeah. Go back a little, or looking a little fit in the future, how about, are the rates going to go up that we're paying SEPA for more work at SEPA, or where?
Well, Joe could probably answer that better than me. He's been on the SEPA board forever. You know, I've been on there a year, but there's discussion of one municipality wanting to lower it. And I wouldn't be in favor of that, because the SEPA organization has huge infrastructure, you know, big cost, and a lot of it's self-insured, if I'm not mistaken. The submarine cables are like, Joe, what are they, $24 million or is it 40? Submarine cables?
No, it's more like 20 in
20
in
that
area.
Neighborhood. So, I mean, and they're 50% of their life expectancy, maybe, for some of them, if my memory's right. So, you know, I don't know what if SEPA is going to lower their rate, but if they do, that's going to definitely affect our thought process on this. And if you think over the last few years, and I don't know how many in a row, Jody could probably answer this, or Joe, but we've been receiving a rebate from SEPA, and up to around $250,000. So that would basically be equal to you know, what the article in the paper was, if that, those numbers are right. Jody, did you come up with those numbers? I was going to ask you that before the meeting, if those numbers were correct. The difference from last year to what the former year, based on the prior year, I guess, to if they got the rebate, that 6.9 cents would be a cost of $223,000 roughly to the borough, to the actually to the Power and Light, Municipal Power and Light Fund. So this is maybe why this we're having a discussion here before we start taking any action, just to see where we want to go, because there's, in my mind, some moving targets here. It's the wholesale rate we pay to SEPA, what they're going to want to do, and the, you know, 8 cents is what it costs the Power and Light at the minimum to take the wholesale power and get it out the door. So
just a quick question here, just a math question. But Joe, has anybody done the math here on how long it would take to drain down that $3 million above and beyond the cap that you guys want to keep in there if we reduce some of these medicinal rates to these non-enterprise and large commercial rating buildings? How long would it take us to drain that down?
The numbers that we ran on the 6.9 cent rate, is that what you're talking about? Mm-hmm. If we go to that?
Yes.
It will cost Power and Light annually about $340,000 annually.
Roughly 10 years. Well, roughly so 8 years.
Figure that out.
Yeah.
And I wanted to comment on the rebate, too. SEPA has been, over the last 5 to 7 years, we've had a rebate almost every year. And what that does effectively is lower the cost of wholesale power. And so even though we pay 6.9 cents, because of the rebate, our effective power cost is only about 6.2. And so it's a huge gold mine for us and the other communities, you know, to have access to old hydro. But at any rate, that's hopefully that answers
your question. Follow-up here. So has each entity that is considering this presented you with this with some numbers on what percentage of reduction in electrical costs it would be per year for each entity? You know, like would the hospital save 10%? Would the school save 5%? You know, I mean, has anybody thrown those numbers at us?
No, not yet.
Some of it might be in the letter from the school board, from the school.
I looked at that one and I didn't see any specific numbers, so.
Are you talking about, I don't have any percentages. I can tell you what the cost savings would be for the hospital.
Okay. Yeah, and that, they could figure that into their budget that way, I suppose, too. So that
basically, $58,667.
And what are they currently using now or paying now?
They're on a monthly basis. Their average monthly bill right now is $14,000. Under the new rate, it would go down to about $10,000 or $9,000. Well, we would have a monthly loss in revenue of $4,888. That's Power and Light's loss.
That's for the school itself, Joe?
Just for the school. Oh, excuse me. Hospital. Did I say school? Hospital. I'm talking about the hospital.
Hospital, yeah.
And the reason that the hospital bill, bear in mind, the reason their bill is so high is because they're electrically heated. I'll bet they're the only electrically heated hospital in the state. But they have a 450 kW boiler, electric boiler, that they heat with. So it's significant.
I got to ask the same. What's your forecast on the rebate in the future? And is SEPA going to need to raise their rates in order to put money aside for future projects?
That's a discussion, like Mark was saying, that's a discussion we've been having at the board level, is do we continue to keep the rates where they're at, or do we begin to raise them for a future project? Because the next project, let's say that next project is a third turbine at Tyee, you're talking about significant dollars there, and it would likely have an impact on the rates. I think that impact would be fairly minor. I think we've been talking about, I don't know, correct me, Mark, if I'm wrong here, but it seems to me like that third turbine is, they're looking at roughly $30 million to do that.
I think that's the number that's been kicked
around. Right. And we did the Swan Raise project, which was basically a $14 million project to begin with. And we did that without raising rates.
Some of that was grant funded from the state and,
right.
and other
yeah,
things
we
too.
We had $5 million grant from the state.
And that is in front of the SEPA administration right now to come up with a cost of what it would be to put the third turbine in at Tyee.
And that's going to take years to do that. So I think in the near future, looking forward, the rates are going to be very stable, if not downward, like Mark was talking about.
Steve, you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just curious. Do we know what SEPA's fund balance is?
I believe cash fund is between 12 and 20.
Or no, it's a little bit north of 20.
Yeah, I thought it was
somewhere
right.
between 20 and 24 million.
Right.
We're required to, I shouldn't say we're, SEPA's required yeah. to keep a certain amount of money on hand to forward fund R&R yeah. replacement projects.
They have a current 4R plan, if you haven't seen it, SEPA does, on what their projection is for projects in the future for funding. It's big. And what's the value of that? All that infrastructure, $160 million, that neck of the woods. So you've got a big entity there, and we're lucky we benefit from that. So, I mean,
not
I'm just saying, you know, there's curious, so there's that being on that SEPA board last year was very interesting, and it's going to be more interesting going forward. I think this year the first meeting starts here Wednesday, so Wednesday and Thursday. Ketchikan has the voting, you know, the majority of the votes this year, and who knows what this could be interesting to see what happens. They have new board members that they haven't had on the board before. Their borough or city manager, Carl Amelot, is on there. So not that that's going to could have significant difference. It's a
well, and to speak to, I mean, and Joe hit all of the targets right on, but kind of to speak for the group from a standpoint that, you know, the school, the hospital, and the borough have been kind of getting together in these meetings to try to figure out ways that we can continue to function in the way the community wants without having to either cut services or raise property taxes or other things to try to fund what we do. And this was one of the ideas that came out of it. You know, and it fits a little bit with if the assembly wants to spend down the power and light fund balance, this is one of many different ways that it could be done to do that. But Joe's 100% correct. There are costs to that, and how, you know, how many years do you want to do it, and then at a certain point you have to come back and change the rates again to stop that from happening, because we don't want Power and Light to fall below their fund balance targets. They have expensive infrastructure as well. So, I mean, the topic of a municipal power rate came up in the vein of you've got, you know, the borough losing revenue, and, you know, the choices are going to be cut services or raise taxes. You know, the school has very little opportunity to change the dynamic if the state keeps doing what they're doing on their funding, and the hospital in a similar fashion in the sense of that they know they've got a big remodel project hanging over their heads. So, again, this is one of those things that came out. How can, you know, when you talk about the school, the hospital, and the borough, it impacts pretty much everybody's lives in the community. So how do you try to come up with ideas that will help either fund or do stuff that will keep fees from having to go up in other places? So, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, this is, yeah.
Well, I kind of look at, you know, Joe, the Power and Light does have a big reserve right now, and he explained why it's there. But
yeah.
That was all ratepayer funded. And so if we did this municipal rate and it cost them $300,000 a year, that's actually pre-funded for now by the ratepayers. But then when you get down to the point where it's a zero balance, then the ratepayers, it's going to be on their shoulders to pay for the municipal rate.
Unless the assembly changed the rate again. I mean, you know,
right.
It's one of those things.
Yeah.
That,
and that's just some of my thoughts. And
sure.
That's why we need to have this discussion.
I would be in favor of something like this, because, I mean, we can do it on a three-year basis, like you say, in the ordinance that we set the rates every 3 years. So, I mean, if we have that big of a surplus, you know, I mean, there's a lot more details that I got to understand before I'm going to vote yes on this. But I think in concept, I like the idea.
Sounds like a good idea, but then, you know, we need public input.
Devil can be in the details. There's no question. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Question?
I'm a little bit of both, I guess. It's kind of a if I had my way kind of thing, which I very rarely get, of course. But I like this idea a lot in principle. And again, if I had my way, I would include just the schools and the hospital and remove the municipal buildings. And here's why. We've talked a lot about changing the financial relationship with the school, given the state and federal challenges for the school. Same thing with the hospital, state, federal challenges, major renovation projects. It struck me as a very linear and direct way to offer them some support. It's not a ton, but in these times, I think even the modest amount that this would afford them would be most helpful. And I, again, if I had my way, I would remove the municipal buildings and just give them the municipal power rate, those entities. I think it would help. I think it'd be good use to them without damaging us too much. But again, yeah, still learning as I go also.
Okay, so any other, Bob? Is there any other questions of Joe so we don't keep him standing up there?
Okay, thank you, Joe. Yep, my comments is that if we were going to do this, I think Cindy's here, if we were going to do this, I don't see the borough being as part of it because I think we need to have the taxpayers need to know what the true cost of doing business is for a government. The school itself and the hospital, I would agree with, but from my perspective, it should be what it costs us to do business. If it's 8%, eight cents a kilowatt, you know, what have you, I think that should be the basis. But then I'd also like go back. I'd like to see at a later meeting some options how we take care of it with the ratepayers because they're the ones that put it into the fund. What do we do? What are our, you know, we talked a little bit. Do we do it over time? Do we just give them one rebate? How do you do business? I really do think that fund needs to come down. And I think since the ratepayers paid it, they're the ones that need to benefit from my perspective.
Cindy, did I hear you have a comment or question?
No, just a couple philosophical comments. One is, you know, you were weighing the remodel project for power and light versus this, and that is just an invitation to bid. We still would have to approve the final amount. So even if we went ahead and approved a change to a municipal rate for the hospital and school, we still could pull the power and light project or defer it, depending on what that bid is as it comes in. And my other point would be that I feel very strongly that giving a municipal rate to the hospital and to the school is supporting ratepayers because it's a quality of issue, a quality of life issue for Petersburg, and it's one of the things that makes our community strong. Actually, two things that make our community strong. Supports a significant number of jobs, so I would be very much in favor of passing.
Okay, thank you. And, you know, I don't consider the power and light renovation, power and light building renovation, even a part of this particular discussion. I consider that if the bids come in favorable, they've got the money, so, and it was put aside to do that, just do it, and then we're going to have $3 million excess, and then that's where that money comes into this discussion. So I agree with the importance of the hospital and the school in our community. But in my mind, that's why I wanted to have this on the agenda as a discussion item, wait to move forward with power and light remodel if that comes in favorable and do that and talk about how we're going to move forward with this discussion. Well, that was my position on it, just to get that out there.
One last quick comment is, Every place I travel in Southeast Alaska, I always ask what power rates are, and ours are really reasonable. I mean, I just came out of Prescott, Arizona, where it's like 15 cents a kilowatt hour during low periods and 25 cents during peak periods, and what are we, around 11 or something, Joe, that I'm paying in the harbor? I mean, it's just, and we're right in there with Juneau. Juneau's around 10 something. You know, I mean, we're really right on par with everybody else, so. As for reducing rates for the customer, everybody likes to pay less, but shut a light off.
You know? And I did that. Sorry, Joe, but are you still here? Can't see behind Carl. One more question you could just answer from there. But do you have any major infrastructure projects that you would need that we could use some of that reserves for if we directed it that way? I mean, like new power lines, transformers? I mean,
our poles.
The poles, whatever, though, because our neighboring community, Wrangell, they've got 50, 60-year-old poles in their system that are they're really concerned about. I think we're fortunate that we have, I think, a fairly stable infrastructure here for power and light. Just to get that on the, you know, in people's minds as well, if there is something.
We have a aging infrastructure, and I've had discussions with Steve about a pole replacement project down the line. We try to do a forecast 3 to 5 years. And if I was given the go-ahead to improve the infrastructure, I could easily spend down that reserve in 3 to 5 years. There's some significant things coming up, yes.
Okay, well, I think that's an important information to keep in the equation here, too, because that's just my thought. All right, is there any other discussion on this? And I see we have members from the school and the hospital here. Since we're clicking right along, it's only a quarter after one. If either entity would like to come and make a comment, we'll open the microphone to you if you'd like. Hopefully, is that okay with everybody so we don't get beat up? All right. Seems prudent.
Agreed. I am Liz Woodyard from the hospital, and I just want to kind of give a credit to Steve because he's been getting the hospital and Erica and the school and the borough together because we are part of this community and we all appreciate what the borough does for us and what the school and what the hospital contribute to the well-being and the quality of life for everybody that lives here. And so we were just kind of thinking of ways to come up with ideas to really be more efficient and to be more effective without raising rates to to our patients, our residents, and to support services for the school and for the borough. And coming up with this idea for municipal rate made sense without imposing any fees on anybody else that we would have to ask for any additional money for other things, and it would give us a little bit of a breather and help us with some of our costs for infrastructure and remodeling or being more efficient with the hospital. So I just want to say that I appreciate your time listening and considering this idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Is there any questions of Liz? Well, okay, thank you. And we'll be having this discussion again, I'm sure. Yeah.
Good afternoon. I would also just tell you that we appreciate you giving some time and some consideration to this topic. We have had some great planning discussions, I think, as a group, trying to move forward and trying to think about some solutions to offer rather than just coming, you know, with hands out, that kind of thing. As a district, we have spent a lot of time over the last 3 to 5 years with the renovation at the elementary school and various other projects to try to decrease some of those costs in our district, and we have decreased them over the last 3 years in particular. 64% of our electrical budget does go to the community center, to the gym and the pool, so we have a really very symbiotic relationship with that facility in particular. So anyway, thank you for your time. If you have any questions for me or
any questions,
okay.
Well, we'll see where the discussion goes from here. Thank you.
Would it be reasonable to ask Joe to, he said that we have an aging infrastructure, to come back with us with some ideas or applying some ideas of what he would do to fix the, you know, the aging infrastructure with that part of the money and some kind of a plan to it? And
thought kind of crossed my mind, and it seems to me like that would be a benefit to all of the ratepayers. I'm not saying that the discussion we're having here isn't important too, but I think if you look at the whole picture, it might be more important. So yeah, I don't know who to ask this question of, probably the manager. Steve, can we, and Joe, can we work on some kind of a forecasted plan or what infrastructure would
he's
be.
He's writing notes. As
I see he's writing already. So he's planning on retiring soon, so we have to get this rolling pretty quick here. Huh, Joe? So anyway, I guess if there's no other discussion items here or no other discussion on this item, we'll talk about the amended part to have the trip to Juneau, the lobbying trip to Juneau. Who should we lobby? Is Bob, you have some ideas?
Well, just a couple of them. We know we're not going to get very much money this year. But my idea was, is, you know, we went back to, and I'm going to say the name incorrectly, so stay, hang with me, is Luchins on the, both Cooper and Off on the harbors. And we said, no, no, we wouldn't do it for that amount of money. And they said, well, okay, we're going to pull the money. If it's all right with every, I would like to see us sit down with him and to see what we could do to get to some kind of an agreement in the future. You know, Steve came back to us and said, hey, there's maybe some federal money out here for projects. Well, and one of the things that I like the idea of putting Papke's on there, and but Kuprinoff could be too. The point being I'm trying to get at is that to sit down with him and see if there's some way we could help work with him to get to some place where we could at some future time down the road take it over. So anyhow, I'd like to see us have a meeting with that individual.
With Mr. Luchin?
Yes. Your thoughts, Ivan.
You know, we, the lobbyist and I, we talked about that a little bit when we were in Juneau, and I was kind of the feeling that, well, they were going to come back to us with another offer. And it was, you know, that was just where I thought we were at as an assembly, but we could surely go talk to them. I mean, and maybe it would be better to talk with Luchin, I think, would be his, the commissioner of the DOT, not, you know, someone that's farther down the pecking order.
Yeah.
You know,
it was, no, I agree.
Mike was good to deal with, Luchin, but, you know, so we could ask Ray to make an, you know, make an appointment. That's a couple weeks off, so that shouldn't be a problem. Yeah. And I imagine we'll meet with our, you know, representatives and senators. And
we should do that, yes.
Yeah, so. Steve, do you have any ideas? Who, anybody else we could meet with? I mean, I know the school board goes up there and does their thing, and but if there's anybody we could talk to
I think a lot of what will gear, from my perspective, is going to be budget related, and it'll be what the legislature does in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
You know, go back to what prompted you know us to talk about a municipal power rate. What prompted us is, you know, secure rural schools going away at a federal level. The legislature is talking about big hits to PERS. They're talking about big hits to things like a radio station, and the list goes on. So, you know, I'm less excited about asking to take on Papke's as I am about can they please not kill our community jail program even more than they already have. So, you know, I don't have a firm list at this point, but it's going to be a conversation with Ray and with Kathy Wasserman at AML to get a feel for what's happening. I mean, what are the we've heard a little bit that they're already going after PERS. And, you know, I'm in a position of we're just trying to balance the budget at this point and how much we're going to have to cut to make that happen going into this year's budget process. So, I mean, talking to Mr. Luchin at DOT, it doesn't hurt, I don't think. But the land selection is a huge deal. I think we need to, you know, based on what's happening there, that is top of priority on my list at this point, unless something changes. And then what do we deal with from standpoint of Senator Stedman and Representative Christ Tompkins on help on keeping PERS from getting worse through the community jail program or some of the other service money that we're getting. DOT has already said that they want to cut, you know, money that they pay for the airport security office. I shouldn't say a member of DOT's staff have said that. You know, they cut Joe on our streetlights that they pay us for. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that kind of thing. And, you know, that's going to be most of my focus unless the assembly tells me differently.
A lot of it will probably be playing defense when they come out with their plan. So
that's kind of what I was figuring. But
so, The PERS and TERS thing, like you said, that one letter we just got, the email from Kathy Waspin where they changed one word in the thing from shall to may, and then that just takes their whole responsibility away, what the state has to do, so it's another, it's something to really keep on top of. So I guess we could just formulate this plan. Who's all going? I know I am, Bob is, Steve's going to Juneau. Cindy, you're not going to be able to make the trip, or are you going to make this trip or make the Southeast Conference one?
I'm going to make Southeast Conference this time.
In March?
Yes.
Okay. So there'll be three of us there, and I guess we'll just have to go on our lobbyists' recommendations and stuff we hear between now and the 20th when we go, and we might have to put faith in us that we'll do the right thing when we're up there, I guess.
Yeah. And I'll talk to Ray, I'll see if he thinks we should meet with the DOT commissioner,
right?
You know, and we'll go from there.
We'll see what happens. Okay, so any other discussion items other than borough charter amendments? Okay, we'll move on to that next. So borough staff and the assembly have run into Petersburg borough charter provisions that have made business difficult at times and may need to amend. For example, the current charter does not provide for the city of Kuprinoff to own and operate their own dock facility. Any amendments to the charter must be approved by borough voters. If the assembly would like to put any charter amendments on the October 2017 municipal election ballot, the first reading of any ordinance to do so must occur at the May 15, 2017 assembly meeting to meet time requirements in Charter Section 18.02. And there's a few possible charter amendments that are attached. Clerk Thompson has not yet made it through the charter, and one of these is the one that John Murgis spoke to earlier about the Planning Commission, for instance, making it an appointed by the mayor, approved by the Assembly Commission instead of a voted position. So anybody have any thoughts on any of these? These are just what Debbie, I guess, is putting forward as ideas at this point. Is that? Yeah. So we may as well start at the top, initiative and referendum.
Yeah.
Charter section 6.01.
The initiative and referendum, I'm totally supportive of that in the charter. But there are a couple of things that I do think we've run into that need to be corrected. And I think after Debbie's looked at that, and one of them is requiring a special vote on any kind of an initiative or referendum within 90 days. And that's one that I really think that needs to be changed and to make it congruent with our normal elections.
To offset extra costs.
Yes,
with correct. Special elections.
Yeah. The last time we looked at that, I believe, and correct me, Debbie, if I'm wrong, it was over $10,000 to run a special election. $10,000. And what this would do, the proposal here would essentially put it back to our regular elections rather than to have a special election.
It would. What it would do is it would remove the language saying that a special election would be forced. It would remove that language. So it would say that a sufficient petition would go on a ballot at the next election occurring more than 90 days from certification. So if we were having a special election for some other reason before we had the regular election, we could put that on the special election ballot as well. Otherwise, it would be held to the next regular election.
Yes. And to me, that makes a lot of sense to make that change. And then there's one other change as part of that was to the way our charter now reads is that if we have a petition, as soon as we receive that, the issue on the docket at the time is in suspension. And correct me if I'm wrong. And there's a second piece of this language that would not put that in suspension. I was wrestling that a little bit around in my mind and thinking that, well, we probably should put it in suspension and we should leave it away, but there's an alternative argument that which makes more sense, and I'll let Debbie talk to that one because we wrestled that around a little bit.
Well, and I'm not sure that my example is something that would actually happen, but what I was trying to think of why we
wouldn't want it to be suspended immediately just because someone has filed. And so we're not saying that it's been certified as sufficient at this point. But if there was some legislation that we just put in, and so, okay, so what I was thinking is, what if someone decided that they didn't want the borough to pick up garbage in town anymore? They wanted it to be a private enterprise, and so they do. They put in a petition saying, you know, we don't, this is what we think, and so now we can't pick up the garbage. We have to suspend our garbage service. And so it makes more sense to me to wait for that suspension until the petition is actually certified by the clerk, rather than just doing it immediately. It'll still happen if it's certified, but it would have to be certified for it to happen if we change the language.
And those were the two under this particular item. It would still leave the whole process in place. It just changes that those two particular items, which Correct. Make a lot of sense. And I would support those changes.
So are we starting to, and I believe this is the start of the process, is compiling a list of charter changes that we want for the 2017?
We are. And so any department heads or whoever that have things that they saw that they thought might need to be changed, have they're getting that information to me. We're trying to just write something up just for you guys to look at, and then you can direct us as to what changes you want to be put in ordinance form so we can get that started in order to get anything on the ballot.
Right.
And then once it's in ordinance form, we go through the same three readings that you can make tweaks to the language.
Yeah. So it sounds like this could even get to the point where it might be a meeting of its own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. A special meeting to address these charter changes or proposed ones. I mean, it's, there's a few here already. So is that everybody okay with the way this first one has been proposed to have it selected as one of the ones that would be on the ballot or the, for an ordinance? I mean, and we, like they said, we could discuss it again.
So this item 6.01, if you don't mind, the 6.01A one is actually something we can do by ordinance just to change the code 2.44. So that's something that doesn't need to go on a ballot. And if you guys agree with that, as Bob explained, then you could ask me to just draft an ordinance for its first reading at the next meeting to remove that special election language. So that wouldn't have to be a charter amendment. The second one, 601B3, that is a charter amendment.
601B3.
Wait, okay. Maybe it's not.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yep. It's not. I'm wrong. It's all code. It's just code. So this one isn't. The reason I put it in the charter amendment, because she had some notes of things that we could do in the charter if we wanted to, but she thought it made more sense to just change the code, and I agree with that.
Okay, for this first one, the 6.01.
Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. So the next one that we're talking about is the Planning Commission, and that's 7.01, and that would be where currently it says there shall be a Planning Commission consisting of 7 members who shall be elected at large. They're talking about striking the elected at large and appointed by the mayor with majority vote of the assembly, and I believe this was initiated by our community development director, Liz, because of a letter that came from, but does she?
It's actually a combination of things, but yes, sir.
Okay, but I remember when we formed the borough and decided which commissions and committees to make appointed or voting. This was one of the ones that discussion was where it would be voted. And then we did away with the Parks and Rec Board at that time and on and on. But that doesn't mean we can't change that. So anyways.
Yeah, she got a letter. We have found that traditionally a lot of P&Z boards are appointed versus elected. It was at the planning conference that she went to. Prior to that, we had discussed before internally about, 7 members versus 5. And primarily because we were having such a hard time getting a full P&Z board, trying to debate whether, do we want to suggest changing the charter to go to 5 members so it's easier to get a full member board? They seem to be having less of a problem with that recently in getting the board filled. But traditionally in P&Z, at least in the last 4 or 5 years, no one runs, and the assembly's appointing them basically regardless. So I can't give you the numbers, but I think very few of the current members were actually voted on, were they?
I can't tell you.
So anyway, that's where that's coming from. No, it's not making a huge issue, but we just wanted to recognize.
Sitting in my position, I don't want to be the one that, well, in our positions, I guess, to appoint somebody and, you know, not that it would happen in Petersburg, but someone says, okay, you appointed someone because your brother wants to build this and he knows, you know, you'll get a favorite vote. So I'm in favor of keeping like it is as an elected body. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know if I explained that very well, but Nancy, you had your hand up?
Well, if we wanted to appoint everyone for the membership, we just have to wait till they don't show up to be voted on. So we should continue with them being elected and
Kurt,
sorry. The only reason I could see this would work is if it was a cost savings at the election poll, because we're right now people are sending in letters of interest and then we're appointing them when they want to do it. So, and so if it's not going to be a cost savings, if it's going to, you know, create more transparency on what Mark had just mentioned about, you know, not nepotism and things like that, then I mean, and if it's not going to save them any paperwork, it's. I mean, it just kind of seems like a moot point. I think we should leave it as is.
Okay, so, we'll drop that one.
Okay, one more. Okay, Jay.
Debbie, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't one part of that, I remember reading through that letter that Liz had sent, wasn't one argument about appointing versus electing is to remove them from, like, political pressures because they don't have to feel beholden?
Yes, I just don't know that there's much political pressure here.
Agreed.
For that. I mean, traditionally, when you see big cities, PNC and variance committees tend to be a highly volatile type thing, and removing them from the political process has some value. This was one that, you know, we wanted to hear what the assembly had to say. I mean, I don't know that it matters much. As Nancy said, you guys are appointing them pretty much across the board anyway.
I'm good. Okay. Thanks.
It is a decision-making commission, if I'm not mistaken. So, anyway, what is next?
Thomas Bay Power.
Yeah, Thomas Bay Power Authority. And what was the? And I think all of the assets have been turned over to SEPA, any that they are. And I think the discussion when we dissolve Thomas Bay Power Authority and let SEPA take over as the O&M for the Tyee line. The discussion came up whether we should leave Thomas Bay Power Authority even in existence. And I think it was between the Wrangell folks and the Petersburg folks, it was discussed, well, what's it hurting to have it on the books in case you ever do want Thomas Bay Power Authority to do what they were formed for, seeking out another hydro project. And I think that's where Thomas Bay Power Authority originally was formed.
And the question is, does the assembly want it removed from the charter? You can always put it in, like many of our other boards are, create it through ordinance or resolution. But having it in the charter, this goes back a while. I think it was Jim Brennan who said the cleanest would be to get it, remove it from the charter since it is non-existent at this time.
And Wrangell has removed it from their charter.
Yeah. Oh, well, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah,
okay, so our discussion at the Thomas Bay Power Authority Commission didn't matter. Or it right. Didn't matter, but at the
time. Yes, and I just think it needs to be removed. It doesn't do away with what you're, you know, with what you're suggesting. But
it can be put in by a resolution.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not there now, and the way it's worded in our charter, it's kind of moot right now. It really does need to be removed, in my opinion.
Okay, well, knowing that Wrangell was removed there, is it kind of doesn't make any sense for us to have ours. Sales. What's that?
Cindy.
I'm not entirely clear how we left the Planning Commission discussion. If we're going to bring it up again, I can take my comments at another time.
Actually, I think the ones here in the room, but the sense I got was to keep it an elected position. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are not to keep it as an elected position. I was the Planning Commissioner for Lincoln County, Oregon, as my very first government position. years ago and was not elected. It's not a precedent-setting thing by any stretch of the imagination. My question would be, how many other communities of an equivalent size have the same size planning commission? I like the borough manager's suggestion that we take it down to 5 people. And the other point that I would make is if people had objections to somebody being appointed to the commission, we always allow public testimony at every single assembly meeting, and somebody can speak to that concern. So, you know, the fact that we're appointing them anyway, it seems like why not take away the hurdle of the election process and codify what we're actually doing anyway?
Is there an election cost? If it's
I didn't say there's an election cost, but we have to wait. We say we're going to wait for an election, then we don't get people to actually apply. I think if we had fewer members on the commission and we said the assembly could appoint them, the assembly ends up approving the decisions that the planning commission makes anyways, and the public also has an opportunity to speak if they had a concern about a particular person being appointed to the planning commission. So I don't see that this taking away a public voice in any way.
Okay, well, if we have a new twist on it here, so I would assume to get it on the list of charter amendments, we'd have to vote on it as an assembly.
Can I make a recommendation? Maybe wait till Liz gets back and talk about this. Just give her a chance to make
her
argument.
We've got till May.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Just a question that goes along with Cindy's. How many in the Southeast are elected versus appointed?
That's a good point.
We can find out.
Not that we have to do what other people do, but it'd be good to know. Yeah. Okay, thanks, Cindy.
Okay,
that brings us to 12.02, sales and use taxes PDF. So, okay, come on, work with me here. Up there earlier. Again, this is the change is going to be under Section B. Any sales or use tax or change in the rate or exemptions to the sales tax or use tax shall be by ordinance ratified by, and this is the part, a majority of the qualified voters would go to a vote of the borough voting on the question. And that will be struck and will be ratified by the borough assembly. So any changes to sales tax, if I understand this proposal right, or use tax, or would this include senior citizen exemptions as well?
Let me speak to the broader issue, really, which is our charter pretty much puts it in the hands of the voters on exemptions, sales tax rates, point of sale, anything involved in those areas. It puts it out to a vote of the people. Most communities, it's done by the assembly, not by vote of the people. So be it. What does the assembly here in Petersburg want to do? I mean, do you want to change this? Do you want to go through the sales tax and exemption ordinances and figure out which ones you would like to go to the voters individually, or would you want a broader one like what the mayor just read? What we need from a staff perspective is, do you want to go fight this battle on any of these? You know, we've had this discussion numerous times about senior citizens exemption. You know, we have a, you know, we don't do point of sale sales tax here. So, for example, if somebody from California comes up here and buys something and has it shipped, they don't pay sales tax here locally. That's pretty much unheard of in the world of sales tax. I mean, you pay sales tax where you buy it. So
does that pertain to Amazon?
No, that's internet sales. But, I mean, for example, somebody could walk in, if I had a shop selling, I don't know, good whiskey, and had it shipped to California, I wouldn't have to pay sales tax on it. Okay, that's a Petersburg thing. So basically, point of sale, we don't have a point of sale sales tax where anything purchased in our borough, you must pay sales tax on. It doesn't work that way here. So, and you know, the shopkeepers will argue to keep that because, in their sense, we have visitor traffic coming through town that want to buy something, and they don't want to take it back with them on an airplane or a ship. They don't. So the shop will say, hey, I'll ship it to your house for you, and you don't have to pay sales tax. So that happens throughout the community, and it's a way for them to keep that sale. Again, I don't have numbers to go with this. This is all one of those hearsay type things that people talk about. Jody might be able to speak to it better. But, you know, an example, you know, I bought something from one of the hardware stores that was, I bought it from their online store. It was shipped here. I didn't pay sales tax on it when I picked it up here because I purchased it, quote, online. Okay. There's a lot of stuff like that in our sales tax ordinances, including the senior exemption, the sales tax cap that hasn't been adjusted for many, many years. The broader question is, we could sit down with the sales tax ordinance with the assembly, and do you want to do that? Do you want to go through that whole ordinance and make decisions and say go to the voters or no, just leave it all alone? Or do you want to go to a much broader base, which would be pretty significant change, you know, going to the charter and saying get rid of the voter input and put it on the assembly to make those decisions? Still very public with the assembly doing it, but you know, the seven of you sitting there would be making that decision rather than the voters in that case, which is generally how that's done, but it's different here in Petersburg. That's what we need to know from a staff perspective. How do you want to address this issue, or do you want to address it?
I'm just thinking back on one of our recent elections about removing the senior citizens exemption. Wasn't that on one of them a couple years back? And got a resounding no. But I guess they could come and fill the room.
Well, and I take the results of that vote as that the community would prefer the borough in particular to cut services rather than raise revenue. I'm not trying to be, right. but that's the result of that vote, which right. is going forward, they would prefer us to scale stuff back more so than the option. And that's fine if that's how it is. We'll manage within that. That's what we're trying to figure out is does the assembly want to go back and talk about those issues or just leave it alone?
Is there some way in this process, Steve, that instead of painting this whole thing with a real broad brush, I mean, there's a few things that we probably should ratify. If I walk into Juneau and I buy anything in Juneau at the counter and I say, mm-hmm. well, I'm just going to ship it home, they charge me sales tax.
Right.
If I call Juneau and say, send it down to me, they don't charge me sales tax.
Right.
So I could see us ratifying some of those things, you know, on this kind of seven-member level. As for taking ownership away from people's ability to tell me how they want this community to look in the future, I don't think I'd be in favor of that. I think if somebody thinks as though that they've paid enough into the system, even though they've been here only 4 or 5 years, because they fall into that senior sales tax category, I'd say shame on them, you know, because and I know a lot of people that continue to pay property tax even though they're senior citizens. I know a lot of people continue to pay sales tax when they're senior mm-hmm. citizens because they like the community the way it is. And I want this community to take a really hard look at what we got here and how do they want to support this. I mean, of course, nobody wants to pay any more than they want to. But then the minute their road's not plowed, the minute their sewer backs up, who's going to hear from it? You know, it's going to be us. So anyway, so yeah, if we could look at this on different levels, I think there's probably some room for improvement, but just to say,
and that's why
put it all in our hands, and I'm not in favor of that.
And that's why I wanted to ask. I mean, that this is a classic one that would take a very long time. That's a complex ordinance, the sales tax piece of it, and there's a lot of moving parts to it. And it's really how does the assembly want to address this if you even want to talk about it?
Bob.
Yeah, I'm about the same place. I think one of the strengths of the community is the fact it is open and allows the people to decide what they want, and then we have to adjust accordingly. The other part of that is in the charter, it has a cap. I think it's 10 mm-hmm. point some mils, I believe. The people in have chosen to raise that in town, but that was their choice. And we do, and I don't think there's very many communities that have that cap, but ours does, our charter.
You are correct. We're capped both on sales tax, the exemptions, and right. property tax, and we are running up against that. You know, our next year's budget will likely involve cuts in areas because we will get really close to those.
And I guess I'd be the same place as it. I wouldn't have any problem taking a look at some individual parts of this, you know, that we might want to change, just like Kirk talked about.
So I guess as far as the borough assembly having the authority for all of it, it doesn't sound like we're in favor of it at this point. So, now we're talking, Red, but Bob brought this up, the tax cap, assessment, levy, and collection of property taxes exemptions. The borough shall provide for the annual assessment, levy, and collection of taxes on property. And then added in would be the tax rate shall be set by the Petersburg Borough Assembly as part of the annual budget process and must be approved by, it says a quorum, but I think that should be a majority, that word, of the assembly. And cross out that, whatever the other paragraph is. How does everybody feel about this one? Okay?
No.
Anybody? No? No.
I'm of a mind that the tax cap really does need to be addressed. It's been in place a long time, and our tax cap, I think, is almost one of the lowest ones in Southeast Alaska. And it really does need to be addressed.
I mean, the ideal is a system that's in place that has some kind of, I hate to say escalator, but a way to that it can be adjusted without, as, you know, inflation occurs or whatever else. But again, you know, the assembly is going to have to weigh in and say, how do you want to do that? You're right. I mean, the tax cap hasn't been touched for many, many years. It would be a lot higher if it had been adjusted even with just inflation. But it's a big deal here in town. I mean, so particularly, I think, what was it? Jody, I think the last time we looked at it, 75%, 70% of the tax cap is at the fuel dock. So, I mean, in other words, the people taking advantage, we're running up against that is at petrol. And so, I mean, that has a pretty major impact if you change that number.
Raise it.
Correct.
The argument I'd have with that is that how far do you got to go to get a tax break lower than you're going to get in Petersburg? You're not going to run to Sitka or Juneau or Juneau for 12 gallons an hour just to save, you know, a penny a gallon. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a kind of a weak argument. I mean, we all need fuel, and we go to the closest fuel dock. So,
I'm just trying to be open and honest.
Yeah, I understand. I understand where you're coming from, Steve. Yeah, no, I'm not.
I agree with that, Kurt, but when people have their boat south and they have 10,000 gallon capacity, they're going to fill their boat up down there before they run up here.
And they're going to get 50 cents to a dollar. They're going to get a 50 or a dollar less per gallon price break. Too.
I do agree with the part. Mm-hmm. Assembly strongly believes the state of Alaska is responsible for funding.
I know, but
any exemption from taxation is mandated by the state, and there's our, you know, property tax. So is this something we want to have on the ballot?
Or more discussion.
Or more discussion before the 15th.
More discussion, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so services provided by service area, and this is the next one, the last one. Proposed change. I don't know why this isn't loading the particulars up the second time it does. This is an ordinance proposing an amendment to the Home Rule Charter of the Petersburg Borough to allow the Assembly by ordinance to permit the exercise of certain powers on a non-area-wide or other basis and directing that the proposed charter amendment be submitted to the qualified voters of the borough. This is the one that was talking about the harbors, wasn't it, Debbie, in particular? That's why we're presenting this?
It would, yes.
Giving Kuprinoff.
Changing the wording would allow, that would be one thing that it would allow, is that Kuprinoff could own their own dock.
And Bob, you had some concerns with this?
I have heartburn with this one. Is it the way I interpret it? And I haven't studied our attorney's response, but it essentially what it does is then it allows the assembly to go back under the 9 or 11 items, and I don't have those in front of me, to decide whether they want to do it on a borough or less than a borough basis. And that, I don't remember all of them, but the library, the 9.
Page 80, if you want to look.
And those. And I got heartburn with that. I would rather see us, I agree with the idea of being able to transfer stuff to Kupanoff or some other entity or to be able to deal with them. But can we come up with some wording that's specific to that rather than to allow the assembly to go back and to then make decisions of not providing those basic services that we had put into the charter? I look at the charter as a contract with the people what we put in here. And for crying out loud, I think we ought to maintain those services should be provided borough-wide that are in there.
But don't we provide as a borough some services that aren't required of us in the charter, like garbage collection, snow removal, outside of service area 1?
Yeah, we do. Well, so, but this, what this would, the way I interpret this, and as I said, I haven't had a chance to read, the way I interpret it, Mark, is that what this would do is allow us to take some of the other things of which we said we would do borough-wide.
Take them out.
And that's what I'm objecting to.
Okay.
If I'm hearing you right, Bob, that it would then give the assembly power to no longer provide 911 service, medical, stuff like some of those bones of it.
Yeah, to less than borough-wide. And it would give us the power to change that. And I don't think I don't want that power, and I don't, you know, I would like to see it maintained that way.
You'd rather see that focusing more on Kupanoff, the bones of that, so that we can find a way to give them the dock if
needed. Yes, exactly.
All right, I concur. Thank you.
Yeah, just take that one issue, I think is important is for us to address, is to take that out of our charter so they can take owner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did the paperwork and to.
I agree 100% with that.
Okay, Deb, did you get that?
I did, yep. Did everybody read Sarah's? You should. We can talk about it. If you can bring it up again, if after you read Sarah's thing that I gave you.
Yeah.
Yes, because this is
still be on the list for discussion.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, it sounds like, you know, at some point when we get a bigger list of charter changes, and we're going to probably have a special meeting to address that, I would think, before May, what's the date?
15th.
We have to have it done before then, because that's
way before then.
It's about 5 days before after that. Okay. Any other discussion items? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Mayor. Can I ask one quick question? Did you guys want me to draft an amendment to Chapter 2.44, initiative and referendum? This is not charter. This is just code. Should I draft an ordinance amending it as discussed on this piece of paper and bring it next meeting for its first reading?
Wasn't that what we had?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
No problem.
Too many different things.
Right.
Okay, so there's nothing else. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. In favor, say aye.
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 Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings are brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real live person who is in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Insurance at 772-3858.